Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Often, church, don't you hear the words, by faith? Yet what is faith? What is saving faith? The word means to believe in God and in Jesus, but it also means to trust. To trust God. The Bible tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't have all of God's promises fulfilled to us immediately. In fact, the biggest one we won't see fulfilled until we die and rise again and join Jesus in heaven, that city, that heaven that God has prepared for us. Our scripture reading defined faith as the substance of things hoped for. Faith means you believe and trust in something that you don't have yet. And it also is the evidence of things not seen. You don't see God. He's not standing right here. And yet by faith, you believe there is a God. You can't see God's forgiveness, and yet you believe that God has forgiven you all of your sins for Jesus' sake. And oftentimes in our lives, things don't go right. At least they don't go the way we think they should go. And it takes faith to continue. In Jesus' day, his brief 3-year ministry, there were many examples of unbelief among his own chosen people. And remarkably, some of the great examples of faith were the Gentiles, the pagan Gentiles. There was that Syrian Phoenician woman who came to Jesus wanting her daughter healed, and all she wanted were the crumbs. And Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. There was the Roman centurion, captain of 100 men, not even a Jew. When his servant was sick, he believed that Jesus could heal his servant without even having to go to his home. And how about that thief on the cross in his dying breath, believed in his salvation in that guy hanging next to him as a criminal dying. He believed Jesus when Jesus said, today you shall be with me in my kingdom. Hebrews 11 talks about Old Testament heroes of faith. They were heroes not because of what they did, but for their faith. Think, for example, of the faith of Enoch, who was taken directly to heaven. The faith of Joseph, sold into slavery by his brothers, thrown into prison, but continued to trust in the promises of God. The faith of Moses, the faith of David, the faith of that guy who suffered so much, Job. But one of the greatest examples of faith is Father Abraham. God appeared to Abraham when he was 75 years old. Told him to leave his family, leave his country. He's living over there where Baghdad is now, Tigris, Euphrates River, to go to a land that he would show him. Leave everything. By faith, Abraham went. But then God promised that he would make of him a great nation, that he would give them this land that he had called them to, and that in his one special descendant, Jesus, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. One problem. Abraham had no children, Abraham and Sarah. He was too old to have children. But by faith, He trusted the promises of God. So this morning, we're going to consider what it means to live by faith, and we're going to use Father Abraham as our example. Our text is taken from the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 15, the first six verses, and they're printed out for you in your service folders. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. These are the words. Abram's faith. Abram's faith centered in the Lord and not in himself. Sometimes we think that our faith is something that we produce. If we're strong in our faith, then God will bless us. But the very nature of faith is that it turns away from ourself and centers on God, what the Lord has done and continues to do for us. In fact, when we think our faith is the strongest, then it's the weakest. You can't forget Peter, can you? Jesus warned him and the other apostles that Thursday night that all of them would deny him. Peter said, "Not me. Even if the whole world forsake you, I would never deny you." And that very night, three times, Peter denied his Lord and Savior, Jesus. It's not your faith. It's your faith in God. I told you about the lady that was a teacher at our school in Spokane. She'd been injured in a car accident. It was a paraplegic. She went to these church services and these churches, and she was told, "God will heal you." But she wasn't healed. And so they said to her, "Well, it's because you don't believe hard enough. It's your faith that's lacking." Now, God had different purposes for her. She not only taught in our school, she became a reading specialist. God works miracles through faith in Him. So here, God centers Abraham's faith not on Abraham and what he can do or how hard he can believe, but God centers Abraham's faith on him and his word. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. And it was the word of the Lord that created and strengthened that faith that Abraham had in God. Second thing we see is that faith drives out our fears. Somebody said the most repeated phrase in the Bible is, "Do not be afraid." The Bible doesn't tell us not to be afraid because we don't have reason to be afraid. There's a lot of stuff that we can, maybe should be afraid of in our human lives. And yet God intercedes. And God says, as he did to Abraham, do not be afraid. But then he tells Abraham why he should not be afraid. The Lord said to him, I am your shield. I'm your protection. I am your great reward. In fact, he says to Abraham, believe in me. By faith, Abraham believed. Sometimes in our lives, the reality of the sufferings of this present age, the day-to-day struggles that we endure, produce fear in our hearts. It teaches, sometimes almost compels us to wonder if God is really interested in us. And this is especially true when the hour of death comes. What a step of faith to die believing that God has something better for us because of Jesus. To believe that we will enter into God's eternal kingdom. You shouldn't feel too bad because sometimes you are afraid. Remember Jesus' disciples? He had just fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 little fish. And that night, those fishermen were in that boat on the Sea of Galilee when the storm came up. And they panicked. And Jesus came walking on the water. And he said to them, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And then he got into the boat and quieted the storm, just like he quieted the storms in your lives. But then he says to his disciples, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Somebody wondered sometimes why the Old Testament heroes of faith are shown in their weaknesses. David, who committed adultery and murder. Solomon, who departed from the Lord. And Abraham. We see Abraham's weakness of faith, but we also see that it was strengthened by the word of the Lord. Remember, God said, you're going to have descendants who will be a great nation, and I'll give them this land. Now, he was past the age of having children. He believed God, but then 25 years went by and nothing happened. And Abraham began to doubt the word of the Lord. He said to God, look, you have given me no offspring. What's going on? Maybe my servant, my foreman, will be the one through whom the heir will come. Because in those days, if the man died without a son, then his servant would become the legal heir. God said, no, nope. And then he took him out. This is something you have to go to South Dakota to see. Without the lights of the city, the stars in the sky. He said, Abram, try counting those stars. Innumerable. We can't count them. And God told Abraham, you are going to have kids and grandkids and descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. So shall your descendants be. God strengthened Abraham's faith and trust in him. And he does that with us too. When we're down, we have nowhere to turn, when things aren't going our way, God's word comes and he strengthens our faith with his promises. But neatest thing is that even when our faith is weak, it's still saving faith. Verse 6, key verse in the Bible. And Abraham believed in the Lord. Abraham took God at his word. He trusted in his promise. Not only that he would have numerous descendants, but he trusted in God's promise of that one seed of the woman, that baby born to the Virgin Mary, who would be his Savior. Abraham believed in the Lord, and God counted his faith as righteousness. Some people think that they have to continually strive to do good, that they have to meet some standard that God has set in order to be accepted by Him, to do something in order to earn God's love and acceptance. God says no. Simply believe in His promises, His promise of a Savior, Jesus, and God declares you righteous, holy, forgiven. Not because of what you've done, but solely on the basis of your faith. So on Judgment Day, you're not going to have to get up there and tell God everything you did. You just simply say, I believe in Jesus. And God will say, come. Come into that paradise I prepared for you and all believers. This is the gospel. We are saved by faith, believing in Jesus as our Savior. Now, for human nature, that's too easy. I got to do something. But this is God's undeserved mercy and gracious love toward us. Listen to familiar passages. The jailer, when the doors opened, he thought Paul had escaped, said, and he hadn't, he said, what must I do to be saved? How would you answer that? Paul said, faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. The Gospel of Mark ends with that familiar part of our liturgy. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. You believe. You've been baptized. You're going to be saved. And finally, Ephesians, by grace, a gift, you've been saved. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You're saved through faith in Jesus Christ. I'll say of each one of you, he, she believed in the Lord Jesus, and God counted that faith as saving righteousness. Now, I could have saved a lot of time today, because the Apostle Paul wrote a sermon based on Abraham's faith. So I'm going to read for you, if you got your Bible or your phone, from Romans chapter 4, verses 13 to 25. So you have to listen. This is the Holy Spirit's commentary on Abraham's faith. For the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, that would be the Jews, faith is made void and the promise is made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression, no sin. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, physical descendants of Abraham, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. God made that promise of that child, and he believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, couldn't have children, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now comes the application. Now, it was not written for Abraham's sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. We too have been saved by faith alone. Amen.